93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Now, it is Motivation Monday, something that we do every Monday here at Connect FM to chase away the Monday blues.
Right.
And we feature people who have motivational stories, things to share with us, lessons from their career. And today we have singing sensation, local singing sensation, Elizabeth Buckley here with us. Her new CD, Must the Winter Come So Soon, is just being released, Elizabeth, or is it out now?
It's out on iTunes and Amazon.
Okay, fantastic. And this is Elizabeth. Wait, did we just heard you barely. Here, let's do another cut from your CD. So relaxing. You have such a gorgeous voice.
Oh, thank you. It's very much a product of genetic good luck and a lot of practice.
A lot of hard work. And we're going to get into that today with Elizabeth. We're going to talk about how she discovered her talent, what changes have occurred in the music business that have allowed her to be able to do some of the things and accomplish some of the things she has done, and how that might pertain to you in your career, how she balances career and family, and also how she ended up at Carnegie Hall. So why don't we start with your new CD? Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I love the title. Yes, Must Winter Come So Soon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. So how did you discover your talent, Elizabeth? How did you know that this was your passion?
Well, in fifth grade, I sang a solo for a little concert that we were giving, and kind of belted it out just for fun. And then it was declared, the girl can sing. So my stepfather is a Lutheran pastor, so we sing a lot in the church. So that gave me lots of opportunities to get in front of the church and sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of started there, and then what did you do? Did you take lessons? Did you get really serious about it at that young of an age?
That's a good question. I did not follow the path that a lot of young singers do now. A lot of them are headed towards the pop industry versus the classical singing industry, which in my opinion is a smart move because it's a much larger market. But what that details is getting started very young.
Okay.
Versus classical singing, a lot of people, especially sopranos, peak in their later 20s, sing much into their 30s and 40s. A lower voice type like myself, a mezzo, sings well into the 40s and 50s and gets to transform from the ingenue, or we're never the ingenue, we're actually the sexy Carmen character, and then we get to transition into the mother figure, which is very nice because you age well in that industry.
I gotcha. Well, I gotta say, I mean, you always look so gorgeous in your pictures. I remember the pictures that you posted on Facebook when you were at Carnegie Hall, and you're wearing this gorgeous blue gown, and you just, I mean, it's just amazing. What did it feel like? First of all, how did you end up at Carnegie Hall, and what did it feel like to perform there? How were you able to chase away the nerves and all of that?
That's a great question. I was able to sing at Carnegie through a competition hosted by the Barry Alexander International Vocal Competition, and I sent in my press kit just thinking that would be fun, you know, why not? And then I received notification last December of 2010 that I had been selected as the first prize winner for their professional category, and that included an invite to sing at Carnegie Hall and do a mini recital.
Wow. What was that like for you?
It was really, I guess, fun just doesn't encapsulate the entire experience. What it is for a classical musician is very much like a rock singer, you know, analogous to singing in a big stadium, one of their favorite stadiums. For the classical music industry, it is kind of the gold standard. And for singing, especially, the recital given at Carnegie is your big debut, basically. Mm-hmm. And it gets you in front of the New York scene, which is where it all occurs.
That's true. And were you able to make some connections while you were there? Do you think that, you know, that opportunity, you know, winning that competition, getting to sing at Carnegie Hall, what has that done for you now?
It's definitely opened doors for me because it puts you up in a category of a caliber of singer that they entrust you to sing on the stage there. And Carnegie has three specific halls, so they have different experiences. And the hall that I sang in was very intimate space, and so it's wonderful for recital repertoire, which I really love to give, mm-hmm. Where you get to connect with the audience. And then also there was a rehearsal going on at the same time with James Levine and the Met Orchestra, and then they were there with a good friend of friends of mine here in town, Michelle DeYoung, who's a very big dramatic mezzo. So just to see them rehearsing in the same space, and then as you walk through, you see pictures of other performers. It gives you a sense of the history in our industry, and also the pride that you get to share in the hours that you spent on, you know, preparing your foreign languages and memorizing all of these texts and these great pieces that were written, most of them, you know, 200 years ago. So honoring that history.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just fascinating.
Cool.
So I guess maybe some advice that you would give to an aspiring musician or to somebody who's outside of the music industry but wants to get to their Carnegie Hall for their business. What, you know, is it just, you know, just keep working, keep looking for ways in? You know, what would you say is key to getting there?
I'd say tenacity. I say you have to stick with it. You have to know what you're doing, too. So you need to take time in between the process of going for what you want and step back, give yourself some quiet time to say, what do I really want to do with all of this energy I have? And find your sense of mission. Where do you want to go with your abilities and your talents?
That's a very interesting point that you make there, because I think it's very hard sometimes. We have all these ideas, and how do you narrow it down to one thing and then commit to that one thing? Like, for example, what was another, have you always known that's where you wanted to head? Or, you know, was there a time where you had to, where you came to that Y in the road and you said, you know what, nope, this is where I want to go?
I did a stint in nursing for a couple years because I really love healthcare and I love medicine. And I think that that not only strengthened my performing now, but let me know that I did want to actually go back and not dishonor my talent and also the amount of years and mentoring that I've received. Mm-hmm. But I think that fork in the road is the clarity that we all need, because you stand there and you have to make that decision for yourself.
Right.
No one else is going to make it for you.
And I think what's also interesting about what you just said is that you tried it. You tried one path and then you realized you wanted to go back. So all decisions aren't necessarily final. I think sometimes we think, oh, but if I go this way, I can never retreat. And in some cases you can't, but in most cases, you know, you can kind of revert back.
Oh, sure. And I think in this economy and where people are trying to transfer into other jobs, if you can find skill sets that you already have in the industry that you're in, and you can call out the best parts of your skill set and your talent. Mm-hmm. But I think a person who's on a mission and really understands where they're going is the person that's going to have the best success. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of patience. You're not just going to find that in one moment of searching.
And did you have like a journal that you wrote things down? Was it a combination of soul searching and talking with colleagues and loved ones?
Oh, very much so. And I've had great mentors throughout the years. And it's also taking the time when you have people who tend to have a calling or a mission also tend to have a bit of an ego. And I think you have to have that want and that drive. So to take that person's ego and to call out the best of it, and also when you have an ego, to know when to put it aside and to listen to those who are giving you really good advice. Like, I think, especially in my career path, you should sing this music. You have to make sure you're studying with the right teacher, the right people around you, and then you have to, as an artist, do the things that you connect with. And that's why I'm not sorry I did the 2 years in nursing, because now when I sing songs about people or about myself, the person in the song, and I'm talking about these really basic, like, parts of life, death, and the things that we all have to go through, I got to experience them firsthand. Mm. And I think that brings so much more depth to your artistry. And I look forward to when I see young students move beyond the practice room and the recital hall where they're being graded, and they start to take their life and put it into their art.
Wow. That's a very interesting point. Very good. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. More with Elizabeth Buckley here. And, of course, you can learn more about Elizabeth on her website, elizabethbuckley.com. And her new CD is Must the Winter Come So Soon, which you can find on Amazon and on iTunes. And when we come back, you know, you had talked about how, you know, important it is to, you know, to determine where you want to go and to make sure that you've got a good support staff. And today, even in this economy where people don't have as much money to spend, it's interesting how technology allows you to be able to take your fate and put it in your own hands. So we'll talk about some of the those tools that you've been using in the music industry to help you grow. So that's coming up. It's 1216 at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Talk radio station you can hear loud and clear day and night on FM. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Boy, that sounds like something you'd hear in New York. And it's something you have heard in New York. Mm-hmm. But she's right here in Champaign, Urbana. Singing sensation Elizabeth Buckley joins us. This from her new CD, Winter Must the Winter Come So Soon. And we've been talking about her spectacular career and you know, how some of the things she's learned can help you. And so in this day and age, you know, the jobless numbers are incredible. And people need to self-promote now more than ever. And as a musician, self-promotion is something that you've had to really master. So what are some of the tools that you've used that other people could use, no matter what their profession is?
I started with getting on LinkedIn, actually. And this is very interesting. My husband was finishing up his MBA.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. At Kellogg up at Northwestern. And one of his professors was integral with the formation of LinkedIn and talked about the research behind it and about building networks. And number one, I know many people are very, very skeptical of talking about building a network because it sounds like you're gaming it. And that is not what you want to do when you're networking. When you're networking, you're looking for people who have common interests. Mm-hmm. And now more than ever, especially younger generations, with Facebook and beyond with Twitter, they are connecting with each other at a level that just wasn't possible a few years ago. And it's not that it wasn't possible for people to talk. It's that it wasn't 24/7.
Right.
And the discussions that are happening are very fast-paced. But what I've really enjoyed about it for my profession is I have found people that I couldn't find across the country, across the world, actually, via Facebook and LinkedIn. And then I have been able to visit them when I go to cities for interviews and auditions. And then I've gotten to see pictures of their kids, and they see pictures of my kids. And it's just fun to connect on a level where when we meet, we have a conversation already started.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we, you know, I tell people all the time, get on LinkedIn. And because, you know, the other thing is that maybe you need to meet person X. We'll call him Jeff. You need to meet Jeff because Jeff is the person that's going to get you back into Carnegie Hall, but yet you don't know Jeff personally, but yet you know somebody who knows Jeff through your LinkedIn connection or Facebook connection, and you can ask them to get you to talk with him. Whereas in the past, maybe sending an email didn't work because
exactly.
He doesn't know you from anybody, and he's got 100 emails from people who are trying to connect uh-huh. with him. But yet, because you've got that personal connection to Jeff, it gets you that phone call, it gets you that conversation that you couldn't have before.
Exactly. And it keeps you connected by mm-hmm. seeing what your fellow colleagues are doing in their fields. And I think it's inspiring to see what everyone is doing. And I want to be a part of it, and I want to help where I can. And I think another area that is very valuable for people looking to get back in, especially in today's economy, I have found a wealth of experience and connections with volunteering. And I found that volunteering for causes that I really feel about, I feel about issues with children because I have children and education and food, meeting the needs of feeding people within communities are all things that I'm very interested in. So when I go out to these events or if I do a fundraising event for that group where I perform, then I have really great conversations with people mm-hmm. and we start to connect on a very deep level. And then that connection may end up with, will you then go sing for this wedding of a friend of mine? Or I would love to have your CD to pass on to so-and-so. Or I would love to have this conversation with this other friend who is thinking of doing this project. So you start finding your pathway through, mm-hmm. especially for my industry, which is dying. It's a very small segment that people even know about classical artists. I ask at parties, you know, do you know this singer? We've got a very famous singer in our community, Nathan Gunn, and his wife, and they are all very familiar with Josh Groban. So I have to tell them, if you love Josh Groban, you should look up Nathan. And it's really getting the classical musicians out there. We are moving forward now, and I just read a neat story on the Met broadcast. They're the first staged production to go 3D.
Wow.
And I just think that's so cool. They're thinking so forward and saying, you know, we've got to get our art form out of what they think is the, you know, gilded, the red velvet kind of mystique. We have to bring it to the people and say, this was the music of the day. And then we have to also mix it in with popular forms. Like I was out at San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, and a good friend of mine is the assistant conductor there. We were there in 2010, and they had, for the first time, Cirque du Soleil performers flying out over the audience at the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra concert. And it was funny, the artistic director was concerned because he said, I hope the older donors, you know, don't freak out a little bit.
Exactly.
And they loved it.
Good.
Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. You know, so many industries are having to change because things are changing so much. Yeah. I mean, traditional broadcasting, newspaper industry, everything's changing so fast. So no matter what industry you're in, you have to be able to pivot and make yourself be able to, you know, be able to be that person who can go with the change, but also understand the classic. So it's quite a challenge. Well, we're going to take a quick break to get the latest on the markets here with your Wall Street Journal report. And when we come back, how you were able to self-produce your own CD, and then also balancing career and family, something that everyone struggles with.
Right.
It's Motivation Monday at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, and it is Motivation Monday. We always chase the Monday blues away with some inspiration, and today, singing sensation and mezzo-soprano, Elizabeth Buckley is here with us, and this is a cut from her new CD, which is called Must the Winter Come So Soon? Just absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It gave me chills. It's beautiful. And that is a CD that you self-produced. And it's kind of interesting whether you're in the music industry today or any other industry, technology tools allow us to be able to build our own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what made you decide, you know what, I'm gonna produce this CD?
Well, I wanted to do a collection of songs that I really loved. And one of my best and most wonderful accompanists I've ever worked with is DeWitt Tipton. And he's on faculty at Furman in South Carolina. So I emailed him and said, would you be interested in coming up? And what makes Champaign-Urbana so awesome is that we have one of the premier concert halls in the entire country. And it is so good that when I've been backstage with some of the big names, like I was auditioning at the Lyric and Renee Fleming was there, and she said, oh, did I do too many encores? She had just been at the Great Hall because she said, that is the best hall to sing in.
Oh, wow.
So
you hear that from all over the place.
All over the place. And when people come here, they do multiple encores because they love to play in that space.
Wow.
So that's where I started, was booking off time. They have two times in the year where you can get recording time in the Great Hall, and late July to early August, and then sometimes in January or late December when people are off campus, and it's a very special space. So he came up from South Carolina, and then Masumi Perostad, who's a violist in the Pacifica Quartet, the Grammy-winning Pacifica Quartet, joined us on two tracks for the Brahms, alto and viola pieces. They're the first two. And it was so fun because the viola, yeah.
Oh, there's the viola.
Yeah, it's neat to hear. The viola and the mezzo-soprano voice share a very similar timbre. Mm-hmm. So these pieces are very special. The last one is Mary singing to the wind to be quiet, to not wake her sleeping baby.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And so you were able to just do it yourself?
Well, with the help of my husband, you know, we sat down and said, what would it cost to make an album? And I tallied up the amount of hours and what I'd have to pay the sound engineer. And then we put a budget together for that. And then I looked at submitting it to labels. But the problem with this CD is it's a compilation versus what a lot of classical labels want now is a CD based on one composer or one style only. So, or one period or one language. That's how they can market it. And so I decided with my first one to just self-produce so it could be my own artistic vision. Mm-hmm. And just to put a nice collection out there for friends who've said throughout the years, what do you have that I could play? And most of the properties that I had were not owned by myself. They were with other organizations. So this time I own everything that's on the album, and therefore I can put it out as I see fit. And CD Baby is where I put it. And then I have been in process of getting it ready for replication. So presently it's on iTunes and Amazon in MP3 form, but the physical CD is yet to be completed in the replication process.
Okay.
And now many artists go this route because you get to retain much more of the sales of your product. The difference between going with a label is their distribution stream, mm-hmm. and also somewhat that reputation that you get by being with a label. So my next project I will do with a label already at the onset, and I'm going to be working with Charlotte Maddox, who's on faculty, a harpsichordist, fantastic harpsichordist, and we're doing the pieces that I analyzed for my dissertation. And it's a female French composer from Louis XIV's era, okay. and her music is incredible.
Wow.
Because sometimes we honor women of that era because we really want to find a woman. In this case, her compositions stand on their own. So as I was talking about earlier about mission and trying to find what you want to put your name on when you're branding it, is find projects that really are intimately tied to what you want to put out there. Mm-hmm. And as a musician or an artist, especially something that speaks to you.
Okay.
And then you can market it much more easily because you believe in it.
Exactly. And much like no matter what industry, what is your specialty, and to hone in on that and to figure out how to market that to make you stand out, and then use some of the self-promotion tools that we've talked about today to help get the word out about that.
Exactly. Yeah. And also finding out what your niche is. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your look? What's your sound? What is you? And then you can put that everywhere on your website. You can put it on your Facebook page. And then another element to it that I think is really important, and we had talked about this a little bit earlier on the break, I'm doing a CD release party at Indigo Gallery on December 13th. And why that's interesting is I've paired the opening with two visual artists from town. And one is a professional artist that also works a day job, which many artists do, Patrick Harness. And he's all around town, has mm-hmm. beautiful paintings, and is sold all over in the region, too. And what's neat about Patrick is he understands that he should not sell his art for less than it's worth. And so he has been able to bridge that gap between the kind of like hand out that a lot of artists have to the point where you realize my work and my artistry has value.
Yeah, don't undersell yourself.
Yes.
And, it's tough in this economy, but you've got to, I think sometimes that actually helps, because when you stand strong and demand what you should get, mm-hmm. then people will actually give it to you. It's kind of surprising.
Exactly. And then he has suggested a younger artist here in town to pair up with, because I always think as an artist, you should try to bring another artist along to promote them too, because we really it's in numbers right now. Mm-hmm. We all have to huddle together and make cooperatives and make gatherings where we're going to bring large groups in from different areas.
Huh. That's interesting. It reminds me of a book called Greater Than Yourself by Steve Farber. And his whole concept is to take somebody and make them greater than you. So mentor them, help them achieve more than you had, than you were able to achieve. And that's all about being greater than yourself.
Exactly.
So, okay, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, how you balance family and career, and it's Motivation Monday with Elizabeth Buckley at ElizabethBuckley.com, Connect FM. We believe that talk radio means you get to talk too with people you know from right here. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Wrapping up our conversation here on Motivation Monday with Elizabeth Buckley. She's right here from Champaign-Urbana. She's been able to perform at Carnegie, has her new CD out, self-produced, Must the Winter Come So Soon, which is what you're hearing a cut from right now. And our final question for you, and thank you for sharing some of the you know, just some of the tips and things that you've learned from the music industry and all of that, how we can put that into our own lives, no matter what industry we're in. Finally, a question I think that we all have and that we all struggle with is, how do you balance career and family? Because you've got to go for you've got goals and dreams and things you've got to go for, but you've also got a family too.
Exactly. I don't think you balance it at all. I think it's just spinning plates, and if one crashes, hopefully it's not like, you know, a major trip to the ER or something.
Yeah. I like how you put that.
That's a good way
Diane
to put it. I got asked to speak at a luncheon on this topic, and I was like stumped. I said, what?
There's really no good balance to this.
I'm so sorry. Questions, please.
Oh, exactly. Like, I saw the cat. The cat looked really upset with me, and then I realized, oh, his bowl was empty and probably had been for a while. So it's like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of low man on the totem pole now. So I do have a 4 and a 6-year-old. So
four
our house is pretty crazy right now. And my 4-year-old pretty much rules the roost.
Okay.
So he has not been smacked down hard enough yet to understand that at a 4, he can't set the agenda constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
How many years married?
Gosh, that's a good question. 9.
9.
I had to think a minute.
Okay, very good.
We've been together 9. Married 8. I don't know. It's all a blur. Sorry.
So it is a trick, though, balancing the professional world and your personal world.
It's practically impossible. Mm-hmm. But, you like you said, and I like how you put it, Elizabeth, you just do the best that you can.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I try to keep the fridge full of food, and I try to keep, I didn't do that very well this week. I was going to say, I try to keep on top of the laundry. Well, anyways, my husband asked, can I have some clean underwear at some point? And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. We were going to do laundry. But what happens when you have kids is they produce twice as much laundry as any adult because everything they wear gets dirty.
Yes.
So I'm always backed up with their laundry.
Uh-huh.
So and I do have to give my husband credit. He does help fold on a rare occasion. But no, he does the dishes constantly and takes out the trash. So I really could not do what I do without that relationship and my mother and my mother and father-in-law who live in town. They help us with the kids a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We love you.
Awesome. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming in. Again, Elizabeth's CD release party, which you were invited to, is December
13th.
Okay.
Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Indigo Gallery. And we'll be having food and wine from Art Mart and lots of good friends there. And my accompanist is coming up from South Carolina. So
wonderful.
Really special.
Is that downtown Urbana?
That's downtown Champaign.
Champaign.
And you can park in the Christie and Busey parking lots in the evening. So
okay.
Good
right.
parking.
Well, we'll see you at the party.
All right.
Thanks again for coming in today.
Cool.
Giving us some good motivation for Motivation Monday. Here's your Connect FM 3-day forecast from the National Weather Service.